first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 11. The vision of all of this has become like the words of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot, for it is sealed." And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this," he says, "I cannot read." And the Lord said, "Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men, therefore, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder. And the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Ah, you who hide deep from the Lord your counsel, whose deeds are in the dark, and who say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You turn things upside down. Shall the potter be regarded as the clay, that the thing made should say of its maker, 'He did not make me,' or the thing formed say of him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 14. It follows in the bulletin. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God."
They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good.
The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God.
They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one.
Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord?
There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous.
You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge.
Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad.
Our second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him, With some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold fast to the tradition of men." And Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban,' that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated, and I invite the youth that are present to come forward for a children's message. Tonight, we're going to visit about holy Christian marriage. It's what St. Paul is talking about when he writes that beautiful letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus is located in modern-day Turkey. If you ever look at a map over there by the Mediterranean Sea in Europe, you can see the country of Turkey. Asia Minor, but it was in that area that Paul spent 3 years, and he told the Ephesians about Jesus. And they became Christians, followers of Jesus. Okay, so now in our second reading for tonight, we hear about Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I thought maybe it was important for us to understand what the word submit means. And I brought a couple things with me. You know what this is?
A remote.
It's a remote control. And you don't have to walk up to the TV or up to the stereo from a distance. As long as I've got the remote, who's in control? I am, right? I am in control. But if I were to submit out of reverence for Jesus, the love of Jesus on the cross, right? The holiness of God. If I were to submit, well, I would need to hand over the remote to God and let God be in control of my life rather than presuming that I am in control of my life. Did you ever notice that when you're reading things in a book, the word I is always capitalized? You notice that, right? But the word you, depending upon where it is in the sentence, might be capitalized, or it might just be what we call lowercase, a little y, right? In fact, the word I is called a first person pronoun, and the you is called a second person pronoun. You want to be first, you want to be second. You see, we live in a world where it's all about me, right? And so we have big eyes and we have little U's. But if I turn that remote, if I give the control over to God, then do I put myself first? Or do I put you first? You see, if I put God first in my life, then God wants me to put you before me, right? You see? Here's another example I have about submitting. Submit, okay? You know what this is? I had it on the sign here too. They're looking at it. They're saying, "What's that about? I don't want to yield. I don't want to submit." Huh? You know what this is about? What is this a picture of? Have you ever tried to get across the street from one side to the other side? Now, if you go to the corner and there are lines and you walk between those lines and it says walk, there's sometimes a sign that says pedestrian crossing. You know what that means? It means even if you're a big truck or a car, you're supposed to do what? Stop and yield, right? You give the right of way to the pedestrian, to the person. That's what it means to submit. Now, does that mean the person walking across the street is more important or better than the person driving the truck? No. In fact, out here on the roads where we have Highway 52, people drive 60, 65 miles an hour, right? You got to be really careful about trying to cross a road that doesn't have a pedestrian crosswalk, because then what you want to do is you want to yield or submit to the big vehicles that are going 60, 65 miles an hour, right? You see? So when Paul says it's all about submitting, he's talking about yielding. He's talking about giving the remote to God. And when we do that in families, well, then kids know how to treat their moms and dads with the love of Jesus. And moms and dads know how to take care of their kids with the love of Jesus. And husbands know how to love their wives with the love of Jesus. And wives know how to love their husbands with the love of Jesus. And it all starts with submitting. You see? Let's pray together, okay?
Dear Jesus, I am submitting to you. Teach me what it means to be a servant.
Amen. Thanks for coming up. I was over for a short time this afternoon visiting with Deb Brown. And if you don't know Deb, you should know Deb. Deb has terminal cancer. And her days here on earth are short. But her life eternal, her walk with Jesus, is forever. And so when I was there today, and her husband Jim was there, and one of the kids was there, Jenny, I read some of these verses. And I said, the reason I'm reading this to you, Deb, is because if people want to know what holy Christian marriage looks like, they should look at how you submit to the head of your household, Jim, and how he submits to Christ and, as the head, loves his beloved bride in the same way that Jesus loves the church and gave his life for her. The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ her Lord? She is a new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Holy Christian marriage, the way God designed it from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when God created human in God's image, male and female, when God said it's not good for the human to be alone, I will make a helper fit for him. Now, that word in Hebrew means a companion equal in every way. And so God takes the side, and from the side creates a man and a woman who come together in holy Christian marriage, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As I have lived with our text over the last couple weeks, as I have lived with Paul's letter to his beloved church family in Ephesus, I got to thinking about this. When Paul says this is a profound mystery, he quotes, in Ephesians 5, he quotes Genesis 2. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now, what if it wasn't an afterthought that this is a profound mystery that refers to Christ and his bride, the church? What if, from the foundations of the world, God created holy Christian marriage? Because it would be in reference to a prophetic word, if you will, about the holy estate of marriage of Christ, the bridegroom, and his beloved bride, the church. Husbands, are you willing to die for your bride? Love your wife the way Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her on the cross. Submit. Give the remote to God. When he's in control of your house, in control of your life, well then, husbands will be the men, the spouse, the fathers, the grandpas that God intends them to be from the beginning of creation. And then you will see that women will not be bothered by Ephesians 5 and the word submit. Because it's easy to submit to the one who goes to the cross for you. You see? Holy Christian marriage. Paul was with the church in Ephesus for 3 years. The first time he went there during his second missionary journey, he went there with Priscilla and Aquila. And then he must have, you know, when you fall in love with someone, right? When you grow in love with someone, there must have been a spark there, because on his third missionary journey, he spent 3 years there. That's a lot of time. When you've got places to go, people to see, the gospel to share, 3 years. That's significant. And so Paul writes to the Ephesians. And in chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul deals with belief, what we'd call doctrine. And in chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul deals with behavior, what we would call the duty of discipleship. It's all about walking. Now, the verse that a lot of people memorize in their life as followers of Jesus or in confirmation is this. You are saved by grace through faith, not because of works, not because of anything you've done. It's a free gift of God, not because of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be a way of walking for us. And so everything in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is foundational to everything that is in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, which repeatedly uses the word walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. What does the walk look like when one is submitting out of reverence for Christ? Submitting, like the vows that we often hear as a bride and a groom stand and kneel before the altar of the Lord on their wedding day. I take thee. Well, I receive thee as a gift of God, right? To have and to hold from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, until death do us part. According to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I plight thee my troth. Some of you are old enough to remember those words. According to God's holy ordinance, The thing that our world is getting so confused about today is they think that marriage is something that's humanly made up and manufactured. But because God, in God's foreknowledge, knew that Christ would be the bridegroom and the church would be his bride, God created us male and female. This, my friends, is a profound mystery. This is a holy estate. This is an ordinance of God, according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I plight thee my troth. I promise, I pledge my faithfulness is what that language means. Holy Christian marriage. A few years back, there was a poll taken in Russia. And in the poll, they asked 100 couples the same question. In your family, who is the head? 100 couples. 90 of those couples said, the wife is the head of the house. And the husbands all agreed. 9 of those couples said, the husband goes, I'm the head of the household. And their wives disagreed. Only 1 out of 100 of those households in Russia in this poll that was taken did the wife say, the husband is the head of the household, and he said, I agree. They said, we have a reward for you. You get to select a prize. And so the husband says, what do you think we should choose, Maria? What does it mean to submit out of reverence for Christ? It's a profound mystery. It's inexplainable. It's incomprehensible. Paul's willing to admit that. But it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know this is forever. A dear friend told me that when she got engaged, when she got married. She said, you know this is forever. She said that to her husband. In Christ Jesus, submitting is easy because we've already given the remote back to God. And when we submit to Jesus, well, then our prayer every day is to say, make me the child you want me to be, the husband you want me to be, the grandpa you want me to be, the wife you want me to be, the friend you want me to be, the employer or employee that you want me to be. That's what submitting is about. It's recognizing I'm not in control. Well, I may think I am. God's always in control, even if I hold on to the remote and pretend that I am. Walking in harmony and unity, in purity, in victory, over and over again, Paul will, in his short letter, speak to his beloved friends, fellow Christians, the bride of Christ in Ephesus. He will say, it's all about how we walk. It's all about how we walk. When I was in Denver at the North American Lutheran Church convocation. And you'll be able, like I say, with the insert, I hope you haven't been reading it during the service. but you'll be able to read it, right, at home. There'll be more things in the newsletter. But here's a story. It's a true story. The first night, the mission festival that Julie and I attended, a good friend of mine, he's the one that told me about these Mark Cahill books. He's from Northwood, Iowa. He's just on fire for the Lord and sharing the good news with other people. I mean, he does jail ministry, prison ministry. It's just amazing. I could tell you story after story of how God is opening doors. His name is Craig Lees. And so Craig and his wife is with Julie and me, and we're in this small group at our Iowa Mission District Mission Festival meeting on Wednesday night of the convocation. And he starts to tell us a story. And I said, just a second, I got to write some of this down. I said, I'm already praying about Ephesians 5. I said, this is all about submission. This is all about, this is a profound mystery. And so here's the story. He and his wife were at a wedding, June 28th, this past summer, for Joy and Paul. Now, Joy, when she was just a little girl, her dad died. A few years later, her mother remarried. And even though her mother and stepdad took her to church and prayed and did all these things, she was angry to God. She was just angry that a God would take away her dad. And so she kind of took some of that anger out on her stepdad too. And she dug in her heels, I don't want anything, you can make me go to church, but I don't want to have any of this God stuff. And then in high school, by the grace of God, a door opened and Joy came to faith in Jesus. And she got a tattoo on her body that says abide. The Greek word for that is meno. It's about this mutual indwelling with Jesus in us and we in him. It's like John 15. If we abide in him and he abides in us, we're going to bear unbelievable fruit. So she has this tattoo, and then she starts to get involved with this global mission work that her mother does. For example, last fall, she traveled with her mother over to Cambodia for several weeks. And they were ministering to little boys and girls that had been rescued from the Cambodian slave trade, the sex slave trade. I mean, this is bad stuff. This is Joy with her mother doing the work of the gospel of Jesus in Cambodia. And then this summer, she got back with her mother from Lebanon on June 12th. Remember, she's getting married on June 28th. She gets back from Lebanon because she and her mother went over there for 2 weeks so that they could teach English to Syrian refugees. Craig is telling me and Julie this story, right? And he said, now, here's what I want you to understand. Holy Christian marriage, right? So when Paul wanted to get married to Joy, he first went to her mother and her stepdad and asked for permission and their blessing. Permission. He submitted. And then, with some help of friends, he planned the environment for the proposal. And so Paul and Joy, they went out on a romantic walk. And when they came to this bridge, he said, you know what's wonderful about this bridge? It unites the two sides. God took a side out, remember, of the human and made a man and a woman. It unites the two sides, this bridge. Well, then he got down on his knees and he said, and Christ is the bridge of our love. Would you do me the honor of marrying me and being my wife? And she said, yes. And then you know what Paul did? You know what he did? He took that beautiful bride-to-be and he walked her down off of the bridge and down under that bridge. Some friends had a stool waiting there and a towel and a basin with water. And you know what he did? He washed her feet and he said to her, as your husband, I will be your servant. I will be your servant and I will love you with the love of Jesus every day. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. From the beginning, the holy estate of marriage, it's not about being a doormat. It's not about the husband always, as the head, having the last word. Yes, dear. It's not about superior and inferior. I mean, that's where people get it wrong in Genesis, where they think, I help are fit for. They don't read the Hebrew word, that it's complementarity. It's two equal partners. Therefore, a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they become one, naked and not ashamed. What would holy Christian marriage look like? Well, Paul spells it out in Ephesians 5, where the wife will submit to her husband as to the Lord. And the husband will love his wife as Christ loves his bride, the church, and died for her. Wouldn't you want to be married to somebody who would lay down their life for you? Yeah. And parents, children, respect and obey your parents. In the Lord, Paul says, in the Lord. And parents, do not provoke your children to anger, but discipline and instruct them in the Lord. And the slaves and the masters, slaves, serve your masters as you serve Christ. And masters, remember this, that in the divine economy of things, we all have just one master. And he shows no partiality. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her. And for her life he died. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Giving the remote back to the Creator and Redeemer of us all. Tonight you'll be singing the church's one foundation as we receive the body and blood of Christ, our Lord's offering of himself for the forgiveness of sins of his beloved bride. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.